wonderful truth is that Jesus came not only to take away our sins, but our sicknesses also. That's a part of the gospel, an integral part, and you can't get away from that. And we're so thankful for it, aren't we?
Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have.
Amen.
And what a price he paid that we might be made whole.
Amen.
He healed the sick on earth. It's a time when I was studying healing a bit, and I decided to mark, well, I had one of these, what do you call them, markers, you know, that you underline with. And I decided to underline all the passages in Mark that had to do with healing. And I was surprised. I used an orange marker, how much that mark turned orange. You know, almost every page in that little gospel has a story, some word about Jesus healing the sick. And you try that sometime. You know, so much of your Bible, the Gospels, is healing. The healing ministry of Jesus, that in itself shows us how important it is for us to believe him, because his heart was moved with compassion toward the sick. And I was reading, of course, and enjoying the Gospels, and you just try it sometime. To mark all those passages. There are people that deny the truth of divine healing, and if you would cut those things out of the gospel, you will find out how much is missing. But I'm glad it's there, aren't you? It's there for our faith. It's there to show us beyond a shadow of a doubt that the price has been paid and Jesus Christ came to heal the sick and to save the sinner. Those that were suffering. What a heart of love he had. And then after he went to glory, right in the third chapter of Acts, you all know that story, don't you? Let me just read a few verses of it. The Lord immediately after he had poured out his Spirit at Pentecost, one of the first stories we read after Pentecost, the experience is described to us is the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate. And that's such a marvelous story, isn't it? Because we read of Peter and James, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, can you imagine, after they had received the wonderful baptism in the Holy Ghost, they still went to the regular prayer meeting. Isn't that strange? No. Sister Ruth said no. I say no also. That's the time to go.
Amen.
The time to lay hold and believe God and get more of God. Sometimes people quit when they get the baptism. We had a woman in Ridgewood. She was a Yugoslav woman, and they have a peculiar German dialect, but she got the baptism and spoke in other tongues, and she went to her seat and said, "Nun bin ich fertig." Now I'm finished. Somebody else come, Lord. I got it now. No, that's just the beginning, folks. That's the beginning of a walk in the Spirit. And we find Peter and John going up to the temple at the prayer, the hour of prayer, to pray. I like that. You know, that's where you go forward and onward. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, that's kind of a contradiction, isn't it? But that's so often the case, the beautiful gate. The wonderful temple of God, and here is human need right at the gate, the desperate need, so in evidence. They carried him there, and I suppose he had some pencils in his cap, and he stopped everybody, and wouldn't you want to help the lame? And that was his way of making a living, begging for alms, and everybody knew him. They all knew who he was. And he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. They asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." Now, I want you to notice the beginning, he says, "Look on us." And a little later, he says, "Don't look on us." He wanted their attention first. He wanted the attention of this man. He wanted them to listen to him, to what he had to say, this wonderful truth that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and is victorious demands attention. And here, of course, he said, "Look on us." And the fellow looked. I guess he thought, well, here I'm going to get a big offering. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." He was a real Pentecostal preacher. "But such as I have," this ought to be the rest of the Pentecostal preacher, "such as I have, give I thee." Oh, God, help us to have the power of God in our lives and faith in the living Christ who has paid the price, and he's called us to be channels of blessing. And you know, here he said, "I got something to give you. Look, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, when did that name become such a powerful name? At the resurrection and at the giving of the Holy Ghost. He exalted him. He gave him a name above every name when Jesus ascended. Why, it was finished, and he took this throne.
Hallelujah.
And Peter said, "Here, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." Oh, I tell you, they had been filled with the Holy Ghost. They had found the power, the quickening power, the life that came through Jesus Christ. And so they said, "In the name of Jesus, get up." And what happened? He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You will find that often in healing, a word is spoken, and then there's an act. That word is acted upon. That's a marvelous thing for us to learn to act in faith. Not in presumption, but in faith. Real faith. And here Peter acted in faith. He said, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And he expected that fellow to walk. Don't you think so?
Absolutely. Yes.
Why, of course, he was convinced that he would walk. He took him by the hand and picked him up. And the fellow began jumping. That's all he needed was that beginning, you know. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Say, he was really healed, wasn't he?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sometimes we get healings that are not given that instantly, and people have to take a few days maybe to walk or something, but this man went right like that. Praise the Lord. Das Gott tut, das ist wohl getan, you know?
Amen. Yes.
What God does, that's done well, right. Hallelujah. And so God healed that man instantly like that. We've seen those things often. I remember my wife was very, very sick, and I don't know what she had, perhaps pneumonia, something like that. And she was a good wife, you know. I was at camp here, working. I'd call up every evening, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm all right, I'm okay. You just stay on, everything's all right." And then I get a telephone from my uncle, "You better get down here," he said. "Your wife has been sick in bed for some days now, and when you call, she just doesn't want to trouble you." And so she suffered on, but it got to be pretty bad. And we had a nurse in the house at that time, Sister Frieda. She had been ministering to her and was very much alarmed. And when I came to the house, my uncle was a very wise man, used his good common sense. He said, "Now look, your wife is very sick. If you want the doctor, we'll call the doctor. But if you want to trust the Lord, we're going to trust the Lord with you. And I said, the Lord's always been enough for us. And he said, I know he has. I knew you would say that. And so immediately I went to prayer, and you know, the Lord gave me a word that I was surprised me. Don't be surprised at the power in the Word of God. There may be some text that you don't feel applies, and God can use it, and there's life in it. You know what the Lord said to me? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now I want to tell you, I didn't know the power of the Word of God as I did at that time. It came to me so forcibly, that word. And I'm not so brave, you know, especially when your wife is suffering and has this raging fever. And I just would go to her room, pray with her. We'd pray together, of course. And then I was sleeping downstairs because the nurse had a place in there to take care of her at nighttime. I'm in the basement on a cot, and of course I'd wake up every once in a while and wondering how she is, and the Lord would keep saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. And this is the way that came to me. Give me a chance. Believe in me. Give me a chance here. And so I just believed God, and we prayed, and it didn't get better, and you know, it began. The enemy would tempt me again and again, and that word would come to me, and I'd be in perfect peace. There's power in that word. When the promise of God is made real to you, you can stand on it, and it's like a rock. And I just had to stand on the word. And you know, the day came, and Sister Frieda said, today's the climax. And first she got me aside. You're not doing anything, and your wife is dying. I said, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? We're committing her to God and looking to God. And you know, my wife had a real faith, and we just together trusted the Lord. And she got after me. She thought, now this is the crisis. Well, the Lord stepped in that night and healed her just like that. And then Sister Frieda gave orders, now you have to be very, very careful today. Don't give her anything. I don't know what she was going to feed her. I went to Edith. I said, Edith, what would you like? Some ice cream? Oh, that would have tasted. I said, sure, I'll get you ice cream. I went down to the avenue, and I got some ice cream, and I'm feeding her a big dish of ice cream when Sister Frieda came in. But it didn't harm her a bit. It made her stronger, and she liked it and rose right up out of that situation. Now, God did that. God did something for me at that time that I can't explain, but it was marvelous. It was God's intervention, and he gave me his word, and he raised her right up, and oh, what a joy it is to trust the Lord and to experience him in your home. And I don't know anything better, nicer than that, you know, than to trust the Lord and have him intervene. You know what that is, just to have him intervene, to bring it to Jesus. And we were taught to do that, of course, and we experienced him, and he came, and oftentimes we have a word of God. One time I was sick with another bad thing, poison ivy. You ever have poison ivy? And I had gotten some behind my garage at home and went into the house, and I took a shower. That's the worst thing you can do, brother. I had that all over my body. I had it all over me. And it was so, I felt so miserable. I couldn't go to meeting, and the folks in church prayed for me. And I'm sitting there miserying, you know, itching and trying to put, what is it, cornstarch, I think, dries that up, you know. And here I am just white with cornstarch. And the Lord got after me. He said, here you're sitting here, and the folks in church are praying for you. Get up and praise the Lord and walk out of this thing. You know, I might even still be sitting there. If you sit there in your misery, you know. that, oh, this is terrible, oh my. I got up and said, hallelujah, Jesus, everybody's praying for me and I'm taking the victories. And you know, next day I was all right. It's marvelous what God will do. And sometimes we have to take steps like that when he calls us to do that. And in faith and just step out. Now there is a place, of course, where people are encouraged today when it's not real faith and it isn't born of God in the heart, and people are taught to whatever you say you got. And you know, that's a deception. And it brings so much trouble in the churches. Anything that brings the division that doctrine has brought is certainly not coming straight out of heaven. It's a distortion of the truth. There's some truth in it. Thank God. But let us be careful that God puts faith in our hearts. Now, Peter got real faith here. He tells us that a little later on. He says here that he leaped around and the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. God knew the right man to heal, didn't he? Everybody knew him. And when he's jumping around there, they all recognize, say, that's the fellow. Why, we know him for years. He's been sitting out here. This is really the hand of God. They couldn't deny it. I like that kind of miracle, don't you?
Yeah.
That's a real sign. You know, sometimes it came to me recently so strongly that the saints, they like to pray, oh God, heal the sick, give us signs and wonders. And you know, really, that's because they want to see something in the assembly, something that tickles them a little bit. And we as Christians, we as believers, we ought not to need signs and wonders to know that Jesus is faithful to his word. But it's the world that ought to see the signs. Yes. People on the outside ought to see them. And our saints sit there and grumble and they say, nothing happens here, oh God. And if somebody jumped up, you know, and jumped around, then they'd, oh boy. You know, it just amazes me sometimes. We were in Kirchheim, and Monica's mother, had an operation by some body on her foot, and they really made it so bad that their feet became infected, her toes, and she had to go to another doctor, and he cut pretty deeply then to get the infection out. And she came to the meeting, and I met her outside. She said, oh, every step is so painful. That foot was bandaged, and she came into that meeting, and during the meeting, was praying. Brother Nardone stood up and said, I feel that Jesus wants to touch the sick right now. And he just prayed and sat down. Nobody jumped up and said, I got healed, or nobody said, everybody with a pain over the right eye now up, and God's healing pain over the right eye right now, I see that. Nothing like that happened. But the next day, Monica's mother had to go to the doctor. She went to the doctor. The nurse took the bandage off. She looked at it. She said, Frau Kleinbach, what did you do? And she quickly called the doctor. The doctor came. What did you do, Frau Kleinbach? It's a little town. Everybody knows her there. The doctor knows her too. She said, the Lord touched me. He said, why, that's a miracle that happened to you. That healing from one day, he said, that's at least 3 or 4 weeks healing on that foot took place. And it wasn't long, and she's walking around without any pain at all. Now I said, hallelujah. You know, that's a miracle. That's a sign where somebody that ought to see it sees it. If I had seen it in the church, I would have clapped my hands maybe and shouted a bit. But this is the doctor in town, and he has to admit that here is the miracle working power of God. I think we ought to look for those kind of signs. Amen. That people on the outside that don't know Jesus and don't trust in him may see the glory of God, and not pray so much that we might have something to entertain us and something that we can see. All we want to see. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed, Jesus says. to his own disciples. But he has signs and wonders, and he likes to do them. And we ought to pray, stretch out your hands, Lord. And here was one of those cases, and here's a man that they knew, they recognized, and now he's jumping around, praising God. And the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them on the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Now why are you looking at us? Well, that was a little different look, wasn't it? They were looking at them and thinking, my, you're great fellas. My, what miracle working power you have. Paul and Barnabas, is it? Or Paul, yes, it was, wasn't it? Jupiter. Here they are, and they're honored as the gods because the lame man was healed, and it really got him into trouble, didn't it? But here, Peter says, don't look on us. Don't look at us. We didn't do it. It wasn't our power at all. But he said, this one, why look ye on us? As though by our power or holiness we made this man to walk. The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, and the Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, of whom ye see and know, or whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. There is a faith that Jesus creates in the heart, that he gives in the heart. And it's a wonderful thing when he ministers his faith unto us, really comes to us. And we know that it's not something that we worked up or tried to work up, but it's something that came down into our hearts from the Son of God. He's revealed himself to us, and it is Peter gives him all the glory, all the credit. It comes from you, Lord. You have put that faith into my heart, and I didn't do it. We didn't do it. It's Jesus who lives, the living Christ, has stretched forth his hand, and he has laid his hand, and we give him all the glory. Yes. You know why sometimes we don't get help? We take credit to ourselves. You notice it sometimes in the testimonies after a while. I prayed. Bless your heart, you prayed. That's great. What does that do for you? Oh, when I prayed, then it happened. You know, that's dangerous. We had a fellow, an evangelist, came to New York, and somebody was trying to sue him because some child, that he took the brace off the child, they got injured more, and it had bad effects on him. He said, I never prayed for that child. When I pray, everybody's healed. The poor fellow got sick, and God didn't answer his prayer, and he died. You know, God doesn't give his honor or share his honor with others. He doesn't do that. We don't want that either, do we? We want to bow low at his feet. And when Jesus speaks to our hearts and manifests himself and puts in our hearts a faith to believe him, there's a gift of faith, and there are gifts of faith, and there are gifts of healing. We don't want to go into that tonight, but I just want to encourage us. There's power in the name of Jesus. He is victor. He's victor in your case. You may be sick tonight. You may have had an affliction a long time. And you know, through faith in his name, in his name. Not faith in your prayer, not faith in someone else's prayer either, but faith in Jesus. Oh, he touched me. He stretched out his hand. He did the work. And you know, he likes to encourage us and put faith into our hearts from the Word. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
You meditate in the Word, and God stretches out his hand.
Jesus.
One of our striking cases was Mr. Tetzlaff, who fell through the roof of his church. They had a skylight, and they were putting something up on the roof, I think. And he was up there, and he fell through and onto some glass. I suppose it was the glass that covered the sky or part of the skylight. Anyway, he fell and he broke a vertebrae in his back, and he lay there in agony. They rushed him to the hospital, and there they put him in traction, tied him in there tight, you know, and he said he was just in terrible pain, terrible agony. And they telegraphed New York and Hamburg and the other churches to pray for this pastor. And you know, as he lay there, he got his eyes on the Lord. He said, I read Matthew 8 and 9. You know, those are chapters that recount healings. He said, I read them again and again and again. He had his wife was with him there, and he could read, and he read those chapters over again until God put faith. The faith rose in his heart. And of course, others were praying for him. But he said suddenly he felt a current go through his body. It just kept flowing. Kept flowing. I don't know how many hours it kept flowing. And the pain was taken away, and he knew that Jesus had healed him. And so he got himself out of his traction. He tried, he untied that apparatus or whatever it was. And in the morning, he was sitting on the edge of the bed when the nurse came in. She was shocked. And she called another nurse. And they tried to put him back in bed. And he said, no, he wanted his clothes. And his wife came and brought him his clothes. And they got the doctor. And the doctor said, you can't move, man. Didn't do his clothes. And he got up and they brought him papers. They said, you have to sign yourself out. We're not going to be responsible for you. You know what he wrote on the pad? He said, Egart Tetzlaff, in the name of Jesus. He wrote on there. He got a taxi and he went home. And you know, that man improved day by day. But faith came by reading the Word. Reading the Word. We had another man who had leukemia. His name is Hep. Some of our people would know him. He lives over in the MERS, the city of MERS, where Ter Stegen came from. Now that fellow had leukemia and went to church, and he had the brethren pray for him and anoint him with oil. And he believed God. He didn't feel anything. There was no sign of improvement, but he knew that the brethren had prayed the prayer of faith, and he just stood on that. He said, I've been prayed for, I've been anointed with oil, and I believe that God is answering prayer. Now when you went to pray with him, why, you could just pray with him, of course, and thank the Lord that he was working. I don't know how long, was it a year or more, that man?
About a year.
About a year, he had that fight on his hands. And the enemy tried to come and say, but you weren't healed. You've been anointed with oil, but you weren't healed. And he said, by his stripes I am healed. I've been anointed with oil. And he refused to be anointed again. People came and wanted to do that. And he just took his stand because God made it real to him. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone or trying to imply at all anyone that goes to someone else to be anointed with oil that it's wrong. It's a matter of faith, isn't it? And this man had this disease wasting his body. And he and his wife together sometimes was hard for them. But they'd stand together and praise the Lord praise the Lord. They took their stand. You know, I saw him maybe 2 years ago, that he had been healed about, I would say, 25 years maybe at that time. Big, tall, healthy fellow, wanting to come to New York when I saw him to visit with us. In the work of the Lord, part-time, a businessman, perfectly well. God is faithful. And there are these tests, and there are these ways of faith, but God wants us to believe Jesus. Oh, there's power in his name. There's power in his name. And we want to pray tonight for all those that are in need of healing. Jesus has made it so clear in his word. By his stripes, we're healed.
Amen.
By his stripes, we are healed. It's part of the atonement. And he wants us to get that into our hearts, that faith may grow in our hearts. Faith in Jesus. He wants to be glorified in your case. He wants to heal you. He is a compassionate Savior. And first of all, he feels with you. He knows your pain. He knows your trial. He knows and he feels with you. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, and our sicknesses too. And he's compassionate.
Yes.
And he wants to touch you tonight. And I believe he wants us to pray for you. And we want to do that. We want to call upon his name. Count on his faithfulness. Oh, hallelujah. 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 You know, the Lord does a lot more, I find out, than we hear about, know about. People are healed here and there and delivered from their problems in answer to prayer. And we ought to be so thankful that he is just the same today, the very same Jesus. And it's by faith in his name. In his name. Oh, hallelujah. This Lord, this risen Lord, is in our midst tonight.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And by faith in his name, this man stands here well. Hallelujah. Let us believe our God.
Yes, Lord.